You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the National Party released their Youth Offenders Policy, which would designate a serious youth offender category for children as young as 10 years old, and create military academies to send some serious young offenders to. For my weekly catch-up with National MP Dr. Shane Retty, I asked him to run me through the policy and how it would work, as well as respond to some criticisms of these measures. I first asked what the label would mean and who exactly it might apply to.
So there are three parts to the Youth Offenders proposal. The first is a serious young offenders category, which is for those between 10 to 17 years. And those are for those who have committed really serious crimes, such as ram raids, aggravated burglary, or serious assault at least twice. So they're really serious offender category. And what that does, having that as a new category, is it opens up another set of tools that the police and judiciary can have access to for this very, very high-end serious offending group.
So for this category, the ages that we've seen applied to it is 10 to 17. Let me know if that's incorrect.
No, that's correct.
How could a 10-year-old be, as the policy states in the press release, a ringleader of a ram raid? Is it really possible to assign this level of responsibility to such a young child?
Oh, I believe we've seen, and I may want you to be corrected, but I think we've seen 8-year-olds driving cars in situations that are not legal. So I accept that that's the younger age of the bracket that we're talking about, but we know that it is children this young that are being involved in these sort of offences.
Do you not believe there's quite a stark distinction between calling someone a ringleader or having someone involved in the crime in terms of even driving a car or being an active participant? But a ringleader implies some greater level of responsibility. Do you think that's fair?
Look, I think on one level that's splitting hairs, because we need to remember that these are serious offences. And if we look at the nature of the offences, ram raids, aggravated burglary, or serious assault at least twice, that is quite a high bar across that age group to cross that threshold.
Would we say if, for example, a young child as young as 10 or 8 or whatever years old was in the car of a ram raid alongside other people, but still an active participant, but alongside, say, even older children, would we still say that this young child is a serious offender in the same category, or would we have some other degree of, I guess, lenience for someone who's brought along for the ride?
So that would be for the judiciary and for case law to determine. Obviously, inside any legislation that you create, there is interpretation against degrees of seriousness. And what you're painting here is more of a bystander rather than an actively involved person. So one would expect the case law to work that through, and common sense in the judiciary to work that through as well.
Much discussion of the policy has been around the proposal to send young offenders, aged 15 to 17, I believe, to military academies. What would this entail, and how exactly would it help these young kids?
So the military academies are a structured environment for up to a year, where within that structure, just like it is in the military, there is that opportunity for mentorship, there is that opportunity for discipline, there is that opportunity to look at new ways, different ways to structure a life that otherwise might not have been considered. And so this is very much what happens in the military, and I've done time, so I know what this looks like, military time. That's the opportunity to break the cycle that these young people are in, to be in this environment where there's a different range of opportunities, a different set of tools presented to them, is what the opportunity is.
So when it comes to this idea of a structured environment with mentoring and discipline, we obviously have, as current tools to address this kind of issue, we have schooling and certain kinds of schools that might be more tailored towards more difficult kids. Do you not believe that, given the expense of sending a child to a military academy and having them mentored 24/7, do you not believe this might more efficiently be done in the current tools that we have in terms of sort of more tailored school environments and more investment in those environments?
Well, it's easy to answer. How's the current environment working for us? Not so good. So clearly that's not a tool set that's effective at the moment, which is why we've needed to step it up to something different. And I think it's also important here to talk about, and what people often forget, is the third component of the policy, which is the deep, comprehensive community engagement. Because often what's raised with me is, look, they come from disadvantaged home, from disadvantaged circumstances. If they were to have some time in the military academy, do they then get placed back into that exact same environment? So it's really important we remember that third component, which talks to the social determinants of crime, that third component is a big offering that we have as well.
Another criticism on a very related note that many have brought up is that this kind of disciplinary approach will only deliver fitter, faster, and better connected criminals.
Look, I think there's two parts here. I think that depends on how well run the military academy is. Undoubtedly, there will be that opportunity for them to organise and communicate with others from similar backgrounds and potentially pick up habits that the military academy is not looking to advance. I don't deny that's a possibility. But a well-structured military academy would reduce that. And then, as you've correctly said, and as I've pointed out, that the discharge into a deep community engagement when they leave the military academy is an important part that would help resolve that as well.
If it's so important that the particular academy they go to is well-structured and, I assume, well-funded to the point where they have the kind of supervision that would prevent this sort of behaviour, do you not believe that this kind of extra structure and extra funding could not just go into the same school environments they would otherwise have been put in and fund, for example, smaller class sizes and closer supervision?
That's not the advice we're getting from the jurisprudence sector and from police, who are of a view that this needs a complete break from that environment for some period of time, and that